Welcome to Cross the Bridge with David McGee, Weekend Edition. Pastor David McGee is internationally recognized for his unique conversational verse-by-verse and chapter-by-chapter teaching through the Word of God. We encourage you to visit crossthebridge.com to study the Scriptures along with Pastor David. But right now, open your Bible to the Old Testament book of Job and follow along for today's teaching. In this series of special Weekend Edition programs, Pastor David has been teaching lessons from the life of Job. Job is one of the oldest books in the Bible. We are finding out that what needed to be learned back then still needs to be learned by us today as we continue studying chapter 32. Now, here's Pastor David.
Turn with me to Job 32, verse 1. So these three men ceased answering Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. Then the wrath of Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite of the family of Ram, was aroused against Job. His wrath was aroused because he justified himself rather than God. Also against his three friends, his wrath was aroused because they had found no answer and yet had condemned Job. Now because, verse 4, because they were years older than he, Elihu had waited to speak to Job. When Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, his wrath was aroused. So Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, answered and said, I am young in years, and you are very old. Therefore I was afraid and dared not declare my opinion to you. Verse 7, I said age should speak and multitude of years should teach wisdom, but there is a spirit in man. And the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. But look at this. Verse 9, a lot of wisdom here. Great men are not always wise, nor do the aged always understand justice. Life lesson here, no one gets every decision right. No one gets every decision right. Somewhere along the line, you're going to make a mistake. And if you've got a picture of God being a big, angry God, just waiting for you to make a mistake so he can zap you, you've built an idol. The Bible describes Father God as being merciful, being gracious to thousands, that his mercy endures forever. Verse 10, therefore I say, listen to me, I also will declare my opinion. Indeed, I waited for your words. I listened to your reasonings while you searched out what to say. I paid close attention to you, and surely not one of you convinced Job or answered his words. Lest you say, we have found wisdom. God will vanquish him, not man. Now he has directed his words against me, so I will not answer him with your words. They are dismayed and answered no more. Words escape them. And I have waited because they did not speak, because they stood still and answered no more. I also will answer my part. I too will declare my opinion, for I am full of words. The spirit within me compels me. I can relate to that. It's an amazing thing. Honestly, sometimes when I get up here, I'm tired and maybe been beat up a little bit, but I get up here and I feel like I go for hours. And y'all know that's not an idle threat. And it really is that the Lord is pouring into me and revealing all kinds of stuff. And I just have such a desire to pour out on you guys and to bless you and to help you understand the Word. Verse 19, indeed, my belly is like wine that has no vent. It is ready to burst like new wineskins. I will speak that I may find relief. I must open my lips and answer. Let me not, I pray, show partiality to anyone, nor let me flatter any man. Verse 22, for I do not know how to flatter, else my maker would soon take me away. Chapter 31 of Job, and I'm going to share some verses through this part of Job and on to the next and start to kind of tie in together. I would encourage you to go ahead and read from this point to the end of Job. Job 31:30 said this, oh, that I had one to hear me. Here is my mark. Oh, that the Almighty would answer me, that my prosecutor had written a book. Or in the New Living Translation, if only someone would listen to me. Look, I will sign my name to my defense. Let the Almighty answer me. Let my accuser write out the charges against me. There's an interesting parallel verse in Hebrew. Check this out. Hebrews 22 in the New Living Translation. No, you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to countless thousands of angels in a joyful gathering. This is where we're going. This is the end of the story. You have come to the assembly of God's firstborn children, whose names are written in heaven. If you've asked Jesus to forgive you, your name is written in heaven. You have come to God himself, who is the judge over all things. You have come to the spirits of the righteous ones in heaven, who have now been made perfect. They weren't perfect, they were made perfect. That's us. How do we make verse 25, you've come to Jesus, the one who mediates the new covenant between God and people, and to the sprinkled blood, which speaks of forgiveness instead of crying out for vengeance like the blood of Abel. That's good stuff, eh? In a couple of chapters, Job 34, it reads, what man is like Job, who drinks scorn like water, who goes in company with the workers of iniquity and walks with wicked men? When you go to Psalm 1, you see that we're encouraged to hang out with people who are following God. Part of Job's problem was these guys kept accusing him, and he should have just stayed silent. But he started to defend himself when he should have been defending God. Job 34, later, verse 35, Job speaks without knowledge. His words are without wisdom. Oh, that Job were tried to the utmost, because his answers are like those of wicked men. For he adds rebellion to his sin. He claps his hand amongst us and multiplies his words against God. Remember, I just said he should have been quiet. Then in verse 38, and I'm kind of going from here to the end to kind of tie this together. Job 38, verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? God begins to speak to Job, and he says in chapter 38, verse 3, now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you, and you will answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstones? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. The New Living Translation, those same verses, verses 3 through 7. Brace yourself like a man, because I have some questions for you and you must answer them. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you know so much. Who determined its dimensions and stretched out the surveying line? What supports its foundations, and who laid its cornerstone? As the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. And then in chapter 40, verse 1, moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? He who rebukes God, let him answer it. It's amazing how some of our heroes of the faith did exactly that. They rebuked God. Job, in the middle of the book, missed it. Peter, in the middle of his life, missed it. He got offended and denied Jesus. It was interesting that a couple times Jesus would say, hey, I'm going to Jerusalem and I'm going to be crucified. And Peter, no, no, no. And it says, and he rebuked Jesus. Peter rebuked Jesus. Kind of backward, didn't it? Verse 3. Then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. Job is now admitting his sin. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand over my mouth. Once I have spoken, but I will not answer. Yes, twice, but I will proceed no further. Job 42, verse 1 and 2. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. Later on, and that, and I've gone through and kind of gotten the highlight verses in Job 42, verse 7. And so it was, after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, that the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is aroused against you and your two friends, for you have not spoken to me what is right, as my servant Job has. You see that? As my servant Job has. What happened? God confronted Job. Job repented, and God forgave Job, and then used him as an example to these guys. Isn't that beautiful? As soon as Job asked for forgiveness, God says, see, why don't you be more like Job? Job, who had been messing up, that God had just said, what are these words without wisdom that you keep talking? But the moment Job turned to him, he was there. And he said, man, why don't you be like Job? Mercy of God is amazing. Verse 8, now therefore take for yourselves 7 bulls and 7 rams, go to my servant Job, and offer up yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job will pray for you. He's humbled Job, and now he's elevating Job. For I will accept him, lest I deal with you according to your folly, because you have not spoken to me what is right, as my servant Job has. Job 42, verse 9. So Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shuhite and Zophar the Manathite went and did as the Lord commanded them, for the Lord had accepted Job. And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. It's interesting. He did not restore the losses when Job repented. He restored Job when he prayed for his friends who had been his enemies. Have you prayed for your enemies? That's what Jesus says. The Hebrew scripture says, love God, love your neighbor. Jesus cranks it on up higher by saying, yeah, and love your enemies too. It says that, and the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. People forget this part of the story. They talk like Job stopped in the middle. Tell people, yeah, did you remember the part where he got twice as much as he began with? And also he was in a much better spiritual place than all his brothers, all his sisters, and all those who had been his acquaintances before came to him and ate food with him in his house, and they consoled him and comforted him for all the adversity that the Lord had brought upon him. Each one gave him a piece of silver and each a ring of gold. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. You're in the middle of your story. I firmly believe and have put forward in the new book about the end times strong proof of the pre-tribulation rapture. If you read it, there's arguments you can't refute. That's not to say that we will not go through some tests and some trials. We can have perfect peace when our mind is stayed on Him. Imagine, no more tears, no more emotional pain, no more physical pain, filled with incredible supernatural love and joy and peace. Our arms and hands that have clung to the sword as we followed God, at that moment can finally let down the sword. And listen to this. Maybe shut your eyes. Listen. You have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to the countless thousands of angels in a joyful gathering. You've come to the assembly of God's firstborn children, whose names are written in heaven. God doesn't have any grandchildren. He's just got children whose names are written in heaven. You've come to God Himself, who is the judge over all things. You've come to the spirits of the righteous ones in heaven who have now been made perfect. You have come to Jesus, the one who mediates the new covenant between God and people, and to the sprinkled blood, which speaks of forgiveness instead of crying out for vengeance like the blood of Abel. And there's only one way and one place to get this. It's only the blood of the Son of God. Jesus came from heaven to earth to get the bride of Christ, the church. Here's a life lesson. We are made righteous only by the blood of Jesus. Not by what we do, only by the blood of Jesus. Now, I would really encourage you to jot these next things down because they're incredibly meaningful. And they put together really the whole Bible through just a few Hebrew words.
Pastor David will be back in less than 1 minute as he continues teaching in the book of Job. A great way to start out each day is with a practical email devotional every morning from Pastor David. Visit crossthebridge.com to start receiving yours for free. If you have a cell phone, you can also text the word ENCOURAGE to 94253. That's 94253 to receive a short encouraging text from us each day. And now, back to the teaching.
I mentioned that Adam, the first man, was named after mankind, or maybe mankind's named after Adam. I don't know, but Adam is not just the first man's name. It's the Hebrew word that means man, mankind. We've talked before that Ben means son. I have a son whose name is Benjamin, and Ben means son. Amin is right hand. So Benjamin means son of my right hand. Ben is son. So Ben means son. So Ben-Adam literally means son of man. When it says son of man in the Old Testament, it's Ben-Adam. Ben means son, so, and Ben-Adam means, it also means person or human being. Adam would be mankind. Ben-Adam would be people or human beings. Now here's the interesting thing. The word for earth, you simply add another A. Adama means ground or earth. When we understand the Hebrew, it completely dispels evolution. Because when God created Adam from the ground, he created Adam, Adama. It's interesting that man was created from the ground, and we have many minerals in our bodies that are in the soul. But it doesn't stop there. All these words, man, mankind, Adam, son of man, they all tie together with another word. Because we drop the A off of Adam, we get Dam, which means blood in the Hebrew. When we change the A in Adam to an O in the middle, we get Adam, which means red. When it says that Esau was born and he was red, it's Adam. So we've got all these words that tie together. It spoke of tears in the book of Hebrews. Now here's a very poetic thing. Again, with these A and D and M words. Dima means tears, to shed tears. It is Dam with the eye, literally a picture of the eye. So it's blood with the eye. Tears literally mean the blood of the eyes. You shed blood when your body is injured. You shed tears or the blood of your eyes when your soul hurts or when you've been set free. It's precious to see somebody's been covered by the blood of Jesus because they come forward and ask for God to forgive them. And then they're shedding the blood of the eyes. They're shedding tears as they're forming a covenant with God. What an awesome picture. One last thing, because we can now add an H-A and it changes everything. Ben-Adam is son of man. But if we add H-A-Ha, which is the in the Hebrew, Ben-Ha-Adam, it means the son of man. Jesus didn't say, I am a son of man. He said, I am the son of man. The Son of Man is a messianic term, and Jesus used it for himself over and over and over and over, saying, I am Ben Ha'adam, I am the Son of Man. Not a Son of Man, but the Son of Man. And in Matthew, let me give you two places he uses this. Matthew 9, verse 6 and 7, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralytic, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. And he arose and departed to his house. So that you may know that the Son of Man has the power to forgive sins. There was a quadriplegic that they'd lowered into the house. And Jesus looked at him and said, your sins are forgiven you. The religious people around there said, wait a minute. They started thinking, who are you to forgive him? And it says, Jesus, knowing their thoughts, says that you may know the Son of Man has the power to forgive sins. Matthew 18:11 says, for the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. Aren't you glad? That's why Jesus came. That's why we celebrate Christmas. Because he came for us. It was the plan from the beginning. He came to earth. But he existed long before that. He was there at the beginning. In Genesis 1:1, the Aleph and the Tav. And he came here for what? To find the rabbi that could be the most religious? No. He came to seek and save that which was lost. He looked at us and wanted us to be unburdened from sin. He wanted to set us free so that we could follow him. Tonight, he's ready once again to unburden you. As you've been out there, maybe you did something wrong. Maybe you listened to some nonsense that somebody called you. You know what? God, who is righteous, who is holy, who is perfect, calls you innocent and forgiven and his child and his masterpiece and his poema. Next time somebody out there who is an imperfect, fallen human being calls you a name, remember what he calls you. And it won't really matter what they call you. So we have the picture of the red, the blood, the ground, human beings, Son Ben-Adam and Ben-Ha-Adam, the Son of Man, which is the title that Jesus used more than any other. I am the Son of Adam, come to be your Messiah. And remember that it's the blood that sets us free. It's his body, which was broken, by which we can be healed. If you've been condemned lately, he wants to see you walking in freedom, not feeling condemned, but walking as his child, knowing that you're headed towards the heavenly Jerusalem, and that Jesus, the mediator, who died for your sins, will ensure your arrival. If you're not sure that you've ever been forgiven, let now be your time. Let it be now. For those who want to be forgiven and be set free by the blood of the Son of Man sets us free from sin. This is your night. Now is your time. Don't carry sins and trespasses out with you. Leave them here. Give them to God. Unload here. In Jesus' name, continue to come as we worship. Thank you, Lord, for your blood. It's through your shedding of the blood that we can have the forgiveness of sins. And God, we come to you tonight, admitting that we've done wrong, asking for your forgiveness, not because we deserve it, but because you love us. And you're a merciful God, and you're a good God. And you make this offer from the shed blood of the Son of Man. Lord, we thank you for that, that sets us free. And Lord, we thank you that Jesus wasn't born as a baby here. He's an eternal being that was here at the beginning, and he will be there at the end. And thank you, God, that we're in the middle of the story. We're not at the end. Lord, the end is much sweeter than this. You'll be there to welcome us. And it's only by you we gain entrance. So God, we thank you for your covenant shed blood, which cannot be broken. You broke the bread and you gave thanks. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Jesus said, I am the bread that comes down from heaven. And the Jewish prayer pronounces his resurrection. That God is the God who brings forth bread from the earth. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Beit Lehem, house of bread. He's the perfect bread, unstained. He's the pierced bread. Thank you for your blood that breaks every chain. Thank you for your blood that covers every sin. Thank you for your blood, which is more powerful than any arrangement, agreement, or covenant we have before now. Lord, any association anybody's ever had with bad stuff, witchcraft or Ouija boards, Lord, that is broken by your blood in Jesus' name. And we thank you for your blood poured out for us. He loves you. He bled for you. No more tears. No more pain of the soul or pain of the body. No more death. No more sickness. All things will become new. So think about the end of the story. Think about Jesus, who will be there to welcome us, the mediator who makes us righteous. Think about Jesus. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May God be gracious to you. And may you sense the smile on his face when he looks at his child. And may you know his peace from the Prince of Peace, his shalom, his protection, his provision, his healing, his prosperity, his wholeness, his peace. And Hashem Yahshua, the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen, amen. God loves you. I love you. Man, this blood is for you. Praise God. Little children love one another.
You've been listening to Pastor David McGee on Cross the Bridge Weekend Edition. tune in again next Saturday afternoon at 4:30 Eastern and 1:30 Pacific Time as Pastor David continues teaching lessons from the life of Job on most radio stations. Friends, God loves you and wants you to experience His peace, forgiveness, and life. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." How do you receive this gift of everlasting life from God? First, acknowledge you're a sinner in need of forgiveness. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and died for you on the cross, taking your sin upon Himself to provide forgiveness for you. Then ask for Him to enter your heart and life, turning away from your sins, that is, your own selfish desires, and then open your heart to follow God's plan for your life. You can start your new life by praying something like this from your heart. Dear Jesus, I believe that You died for me, that I could be forgiven. I believe You are resurrected, that I could have a new life. Lord, I have done wrong things, and I am sorry. Please forgive me for all of those things, and please give me the power to live for You the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. My friend, if you prayed that prayer today for the first time or are coming back to God after wandering away, please let us know. Email PastorDavid@crossthebridge.com and share your good news. That's a great first step to growing in your new faith. We'd love to email you back some more ways to continue in this wonderful adventure of faith. Remember that you are not alone and you are loved. Also, don't forget to visit crossthebridge.com to discover more resources provided at no charge to help you learn more about the Bible. If you'd like to help us share God's Word with others, please click on the donate button and support this program with your regular gifts. And tune in to Cross the Bridge Weekend Editions each Saturday and Sunday on this station or on the crossthebridge.com website. God bless you and have a great day.